This morning we come back to the notion of hearing the Word. We will be reading Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. And we will take up today where we left off last time. It has been a while since we've had a two-part message. But today will be a second part, concluding some of the thoughts that we began last week. So if you will please stand with me for the reading of God's inspired and infallible Word, we will begin in chapter 5, and we will read verses 1 through 7. May God grant us grace, and may we give ear to His inspired Word. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also diverse vanities. But fear thou God. Amen. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Let's join our hearts now in prayer together. O righteous and holy Father, we thank You for the blessing that You have lavished upon us today in calling us together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, O righteous Father, that You have called out of the darkness of this world a people for Your name. And we pray that as we gather in Your name this morning, we will not take Your holy name in vain. May we not bear the name of Christ and live lives contrary to Your holy teaching, Lord. O righteous Father, we thank You that You have loved us before the foundation of the world, that You have always loved Your children. We praise and thank You that You sent Your holy Son to be the God-man, the one who was our prophet, our priest, and our king, the one who procured for us a perfect righteousness in His life and death and resurrection. Thank You for these glorious gifts, O Lord, and for Your mighty promises in Christ. And we thank You for the Holy Spirit who comes in power and applies to our weak, feeble hearts the glorious truths of Almighty God, who brings us into union with the risen Christ, that we might be one with Him for all eternity, and that we might share true communion with heaven itself. Thank You, Lord, that our hearts are knit together in the glorious truth of the risen Christ, and that we are gathered in His name this morning to give Him praise and thanksgiving, glory and honor and blessing. Thank You, O Lord, for this great mercy. Lord, Your people are gathered, and we pray that You would build them up in the faith. Come in Your sanctifying power. Make us like Christ. And, O Lord, Thou knowest there are those here that are lost. There are those here, O Lord, that are lost. They do not know You. They are in their darkness. They are in the shackles of sin. Oh God, I pray with all my heart, have mercy and come by the glorious power of Your Spirit. Shine the light of Thy truth into their heart. Expose their sins and bring them to the Savior. Oh God, hear our prayers in this. And now, Lord, we have prayed together as a body. We have given glory to You for Your great promises. We have sung to You, for Thou art worthy. And now we come to hear Your voice in Your Word. Help me to speak to Your people. Help me not to make Your Word of none effect. Help me not to clothe it, Father, with my feeble and weak thoughts. But Lord, may Your truth and Your Word speak with power. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Tradition holds that King Solomon wrote the collection of meditations, proverbs, and poetry called Ecclesiastes. Throughout the main body of Ecclesiastes, the preacher, or Qohelet, addresses the reader. The preacher presents us with two viewpoints throughout Ecclesiastes. One, God-centered life gives meaning to earthly existence. God-centered life gives meaning to earthly existence. And number two, man-centered life produces delusion, disappointment, and emptiness. A God-centered life is a life of worship. But a man-centered life, as the Holy Spirit reveals, is futile, empty, producing no results. Now, in his quest to understand life, the preacher uses poetry, proverbs, meditations, and observations to teach us that pleasures, achievements, and work do not ultimately satisfy the human soul. They have pleasures for our flesh, and for a short time they will satisfy us. But in the long run, they will leave us crying, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. The preacher then brings us to the worship of God in this passage. And the worship of God is the answer to the futility of life. Nevertheless, we must be ready to hear God's word, or we will offer the sacrifice of fools, which itself is a great vanity. Now, our message this morning is entitled, Be More Ready to Hear. Be More Ready to Hear, Part 2. In our last message, we considered the following heads. 1, watch your step. 2, watch your mouth. 3, worship God. We will review these heads and then resume with our applications where we left off last week. So as we take up our review, let's consider first, watch your step here in verse 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. For the old covenant people of God, nothing in life was as important as the worship and service of God. The same applies to us as the new covenant people of God. The old covenant scriptures make clear that God's people were to come into His presence to offer Him praise, adoration, thanksgiving, and to hear His Word. To hear His Word. They weren't going just to hear a sermon. They weren't going just to hear a preacher. They were coming into the presence of God to hear from heaven. And it is no different for us. If you did not come this morning to hear from God, why did you come? What motivated your attendance? The notion of hearing in the Old Testament, and in the New, by the way, is inseparable from obedience. It doesn't simply mean an auditory experience. It doesn't simply mean a tongue and palate and lips and vocal cords vibrating and ears hearing the vibrations and the displacement of all the molecules as the sound moves across, disturbs in our ears. We're coming to hear the Word of our God and to be transformed by believing and implementing His Word in our lives. Be more ready to hear. That means take it in, digest it, apply it, live on it. Otherwise, we give the sacrifice of fools. Attendance of worship, especially the offering of a sacrifice, was abhorrent to God without the worshiper's heartfelt love and without his earnest obedience to God's Word. Verse 1 is a warning that means, watch your step. Watch your step. Be careful when you come to worship. Be more ready to hear. In other words, the entire passage is ultimately saying what matters here is God's words, not our words. Speak less, listen more. Don't commit yourself to mouth religion. Be careful when you come to worship. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. The fool in this context is someone who comes to worship, who comes with the gathered body of God's people and is unprepared to hear and obey. Brethren, listen. If you walk out the door after the message today and you do not take what was preached here and ask yourself, how do I live this? And how do I walk in this evening, tomorrow, this week? You are worshiping in vain. It is not a worship that God accepts. He's not interested in your coming for entertainment or to score the sermons. Well, it was a 5 this morning. Maybe it was a 7 last week. Or a 2 or a -6. Doesn't matter. It's the Word of God. The Word of God. A word from heaven that matters. Tragically, God's people were often guilty of attending worship with disinterested, cold, distracted, sinful, complaining, and insincere hearts. I say to my shame, I have. Haven't you? That's sin. And sin to be repented of. Come into His presence with singing. Come into His presence with joy and thanksgiving. Come into His presence and give Him the praise and the adoration of which He is worthy. And come ready to hear Him. And then live according to what He says. This is what the preacher is telling us. For this reason, he issues the warning. Watch your step. Keep your foot when you come to worship. Lamentably, fools, then as now, consider not that they do evil. The fool's heart does not engage with God. The fool's heart does not engage with God. He thinks he's done all right. He can do his religious check mark because he attended. And he doesn't realize in his blindness that he has done evil by gathering with God's people unprepared, not giving Him the worship that he should receive, and then going home thinking he's done something good, when in fact he's done something abhorrent before God. They consider not, it never crosses their mind, that they do evil. The fool's heart does not realize that his careless, unprepared act of worship is sinful and offensive in God's sight. The preacher then delivers us a second warning, verse 2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore let thy words be few. Many good commentators believe that verses 2 and 3 refer to prayer. Now, this is certainly possible. And what the preacher says, I would agree, includes prayer. However, the text does not mention prayer anywhere. I believe that is because the preacher is speaking in a more general sense. Furthermore, in verse 4, he speaks specifically of vows. So, I'm presently convinced verses 2 and 3 refer to our general religious talk in God's presence. And then, verse 4 refers specifically to vows. From the general to the specific. And vows, because we're talking about what we're going to do for God. I'll bring this sacrifice if. I'll do this for the Lord if. And so there is a peculiar sinfulness that we might come together and talk about how we're going to serve the Lord and yet never really do it. Now, we do not take vows as the Old Covenant people did as part of their religious worship. But brethren, again, I say to my own shame, people have come to me and say, oh brother, will you pray for me regarding this? And I've looked them right in the eye, and just as honestly and sincerely as I possibly could mean it, I've said, yes, I'll pray for you. And by that evening, it's gone. I've totally forgotten. And when the wound comes, it's when some months later they come to you and say, oh, the Lord has answered my prayer. Thank you for praying for me. You ever had that happen? It is miserable. Because we're rash with our mouths. Will you help me with this? Sure. Without thinking. Do I have any time to do this? You know, Pastor, we ought to have some classes for this. We ought to have some classes for that. And we ought to do this. And then we start thinking about it, and all of a sudden it's like, actually, I don't have time for this. Watch your mouth. before God. Watch what you say to people. Even very often when you truly mean it, you make yourself a liar. Weigh what you say. This is what the preacher is telling us. Mouth religion counts for nothing. 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 So I believe that the preacher is moving us from the general to the particular. We can sin with our mouths in His presence in many ways. I believe Matthew Henry has the heart of it. He says it right here. We must be very cautious and considerate in all our approaches and addresses to God. Verse 2. Be not rash with thy mouth in making prayers or protestations or promises. Let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. We must not be careless and insincere with our words when we gather with His people and when we speak of our service to Him and to one another. That renders our worship vanity. The preacher is saying, in the midst of all the futility of life, that which counts the most, the worship of God, is that which we, by our sinfulness, can turn into vanity, just like the vanities of the world. Be more ready to hear and obey than to give the sacrifice of fools. Why is this? God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Arthur Pink comments, carnal boldness, fleshy boldness. We come into the Lord's presence as if it were just nothing. Carnal boldness in a formal performance of sacred duties, while neglecting an earnest endeavor to exercise grace in them, is something that God abhors. Oh, the daring impiety of worldly professors taking upon their polluted lips the ineffable name of God and offering unto Him the sacrifice of fools. Brethren, I've sinned like this. I've taken a glorious hymn when I survey the wondrous cross and sang it almost by heart, thoughtlessly. Nothing in me engaging with God. I'd just as soon be with a bunch of Girl Scouts singing around the campfire. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain, I count but loss, and pour contempt on all of my pride. Now, do we just sing that because it's pretty and it makes us weepy? Or is that the confession of our faith? God wants the heart. He's not interested in a pile of flesh just sitting in a pew. This is a heart religion. From the beginning, God wants the heart. So watch your step. Watch your mouth. Be more ready to hear. Engage with God. Engage your heart, your mind, your soul, your affections. Focus. Get everything else out. And look upon God. Hear. Strain. Lean forward. Get every distraction away from you and hear the Word of God. Pink goes on to say, what a marvel it is that He, God, does not strike dead those blatant and presumptuous souls who vainly attempt to deceive Him with their lip service, while their hearts are far from Him. Brethren, can we not see the offense against God to say, blessing and honor and glory and power to God, while we're thinking about what's for lunch or what we're going to do this afternoon or what we're going to hang out with somebody and do this week? Blasphemy! Worship God! Worship God! Engage with Him. We sing the glories of His Son thoughtlessly? Yeah. Yes. Oh, have mercy, God. Pink says it is to prevent these and other like evils that we are exhorted to worship God with reverence and godly fear. That is, with a holy abasement of soul, having our minds awed by the sense of the infinite majesty of God, our hearts humbled by a consciousness of our vileness and of our creaturely nothingness. In other words, God is in heaven, thou on earth. He is glorious, holy, pure, righteous. There's no one like Him. There is no one like the God of Scripture. No one. We need to come and hear Him, learn of Him, and realize that we so often come into the church building filled with the cares, overwhelmed, cares of the world, the distractions of the day, not even thinking about sinners coming before a holy God. Not even thinking, oh God in His mercy, save me. That's why I'm coming into this place today. He reached down into my darkness and drew me out of my filth and brought me and joined me to His people so that we could praise Him and glorify Him. The preacher is telling us that we must not render our worship futile by simply engaging in mouth religion. And he concludes this passage with a simple and powerful exhortation, and that is the third head, worship God. That's what fear thou God, chapter 5, 7b means. We must worship God in spirit and in truth. In other words, brethren, in order to offer up the kind of worship God wants us to, we must be born of His Spirit, brought into union with the Lord Jesus Christ. We then have something in grace to praise and magnify Him for. Now, it is a perfectly legitimate thing for the lost to come to the service of God to hear about the Savior and to come and learn of Him who saves the soul. But we're not talking about that. This is the warning to those who profess to be God's people and come with cold, distant hearts and yakking lips that say empty and vain things. No, we must come to our God in spirit and in truth. We must come in the beauty of holiness. We must come believing, come, trusting our God and the record He has left us in His inspired Word. We must prepare our hearts and come into His presence, ready to hear His holy voice in His Word. I mean, if we would think about it in these terms, it might make a difference in the way we consider some decisions. Hey, you know, I'm going fishing, Sonny. The fish are really biting. Man, you want to be there? No, I'm going to go hear God. Which one sounds better to you? It'll tell you something about where you are. What sounds better to you? You say, no, you're talking about hearing God, not that preacher. Now, brethren, the Lord is pleased to use fractured vessels of dust to deliver His infallible Word. I don't know why. I don't know why. It's frustrating business. But this is what He does. Worship thou God and hear the voice of God. Praise Him, bless Him, thank Him, adore Him. Bring your cares to Him. We have a sister here who all through the week has been carried by a blessed Savior. Go talk to her. She will tell you, underneath are the everlasting arms. Young women, you having a tough time? Come talk to someone who's been through the valley of the shadow of death and find out about how gracious the Savior is. Come and hear about God here. We must not come simply for information. We must come for transformation. Brethren, do we believe that? I say to my shame, I've sat in Bible studies, I've sat in worship services, and I've gone, oh, I like this message because I'm learning some things I didn't know before. That's not the point. It's wonderful to learn things you don't know. That's great. But the point of hearing the Word of God is to hear Him and learn of Him and be transformed. It's not a fact-finding practice in and of itself. We are coming to hear from our God, the one who saves sinners, the one who speaks into the darkness of the human soul and raises them to life in the new birth. That God saves sinners. He makes them alive. And all of a sudden, they want Christ above all things in this world. We want to know Him. We don't just want information. True, we want all the information from the Word of God that we can have, but for the purpose of transformation. And we must know who our triune God is and submit to His revelation. And this will result in our knowing Him and our walking in humble obedience. All of life is to be worship. We are to worship our God individually, in our families, and in the congregation of the people of God. Which brings us to our applications. We had done two of them last week. The centrality and primacy of worship. God calls us into His presence to worship Him, to adore Him, to give Him praise and thanksgiving through our Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit. We are to come in the power of God's Spirit. As Hebrews tells us, by Him, the Lord Jesus, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. You hear that? Continually. Worship isn't just something we drop in on once a week or twice a week. The formal worship of God may be one or two or three times a week. But we're to be worshiping our God with everything about us. Our thoughts, our words, our deeds. We, as Romans 12 urges us, are to be living sacrifices unto our God. He has saved us for worship. And He empowers us to worship. So if our worship is dead, why? Could it be that we're bringing the sacrifice of fools? Are we more ready to hear? Oh, to hear of Christ, the precious God-man, the eternal Son who became the Son of God? To hear about Him who walked in our place, who kept the law for us, who died upon Calvary's cross, who was raised again the third day, do you come to fellowship with Him? Do you come believing Him? Do you come wanting to know more of Him? Do you come wanting to be changed and made more like Him? Be more ready to hear. Be more ready to hear. The centrality and primacy of worship is the very heart and soul of our lives. Secondly, the eternal importance of hearing God's Word. When we come into God's holy presence in the gathering of His people, He wants us to listen. How many times, parents, have you been talking to one of your children and you say, listen, look me in the eye. Listen. Why? Because you start talking to them and you can see the glaze, can't you? It just glazes over. Yeah, I've heard Mom, I've heard Dad. Yeah, I've heard all this before. Wake up, listen to me. I'm talking to you. Brethren, if we have to do that with our own children who have inherited our wicked natures, is it possible that our God should need to say to us, listen, hear me, my children. My love is great and grand and glorious. My patience is great and grand and glorious. My mercy and my grace are great and grand and glorious. And so is my justice. Listen. Listen. Be more ready to hear. Be more ready to hear. When we come into God's holy presence, to His holy presence, into the gathering of His people, we should be listening. Our beloved Lord Jesus said, take heed what ye hear, and take heed therefore how ye hear. And again, let these sayings sink down into your ears. God's words this morning should sink down into our ears and into our hearts. And it should change us. It should make us think differently about next Lord's Day. If we come back next Lord's Day, no different than this Lord's Day, we have offered the sacrifice of fools. Now, that brings us to the resulting necessity of preparing to hear God's Word. The resulting necessity of preparing. And the first thing on the list is prepare your heart with worship. Prepare your heart with worship. Brethren, how many times have we offered the sacrifice of fools by not preparing our hearts to worship with worship? Our confession says in chapter 22, paragraph 6, God is to be worshipped everywhere in spirit and in truth, as in private families daily, and in secret, each one by himself, so more solemnly in the public assemblies, which we are not carelessly nor willfully to be neglected or forsaken, when God by His word or providence calleth thereunto. Every one of you that is a member, covenanted with the other members of this body, you said, I believe what's in that confession. I don't have any arguments with it. I trust then that that means you are faithfully, daily, setting aside time and worshiping God privately. And that you are daily having worship of God in your home with your family. God's people are to be a worshiping people. We are to worship God in the morning, worship Him throughout the day, worship Him in the evening. There is formal worship when we're gathered together as His body. There's the individual worship that we have in our families and in our private studies, wherever we have our personal time. Young people, you think this is just for older people? Those of you that profess to be Christians? You think this is, oh, maybe when I'm 25, I'm going to get a hold of this and start doing it? You're kidding yourself. Young people that say you're Christians and that are members of this church, you young men, you want to be married. How do you possibly think you'll be a husband or a father or what you're to be as a Christian if daily you are not giving yourself to prayer? Prayer! And to the Word of God, seeking His face. Change me, Lord. Make me the kind of husband I ought to be. Make me the kind of father that You have shed the blood of Christ for me to be. Make me a Christian. Make me a man who will change the world around me by my simple faithfulness to what You say. Get with it. If that isn't your character. If I didn't just describe you, get with it. You covenanted to worship your God every day. Young women, same thing with you. How will you ever handle the likes of a husband? You need patience. Where are you going to get it? You need strength. You need help. If the Lord has raised the men in this congregation up to be the heads of their home, you need help. Where are you going to get it? At the throne of grace. Casting yourself in prayer before God and pleading with Him. Learning how to love your husband, love your children, walk with them. If you're not communing with God, how do you think you're going to do it? If you're not hearing the voice of God, if you're not coming to Him and saying, "Oh Lord, thank You for being merciful to me today. Thank You for washing away all my sins. No matter what kind of situation I find myself in, I have Your love for my soul, Your eternal love for my soul. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for telling me to fear Thou not, for I am with Thee. Be not dismayed, for I am Thy God. I will strengthen Thee. Yea, I will help Thee. Yea, I will uphold Thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Thank You for that promise, Lord." If that's not there, what are you doing? You're either sucking it up or you're walking out. Right? We've got to know Christ and we've got to worship Christ, and that only comes beginning with individual worship. And I'm just using examples here, by the way. Don't take anything that I'm saying exhaustively. Every child of God should have personal worship. Unless providentially hindered. That happens. There are times when we simply can't. But I mean, can't. Something rises up and we can't get to the place where we pray or where we read and study. It happens in life, but it's not the norm. We must read, study, meditate upon, and memorize the Word of God. We heard testimony just a few moments ago that the promises of God are true. Did you not? Where'd she learn those promises? You've got to know what God says. Be more ready to hear. You must get alone with Him in personal worship. You will not be ready to offer Him the worship that He's so worthy of if you haven't been worshiping during the week. You're going to come in here dead and cold and waiting for the preacher to get you fired up. You've missed it. You've missed worship. That's how you came. Thank God for anything you do get. But if your heart burns with love for Christ through the week, you'll gather together with His people and offer up a worship that visitors will come away knowing it's different from other things they've seen. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Psalm 119:11. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. Do we meditate on the Word of God? Do we take a verse that's spoken to us, keep it in our memory banks, think about it, before we go into that meeting, before we have that discussion with our family member, before we do what we do the rest of the day? Have we listened to our God from heaven? If we're not listening to Him throughout the week, why do you think you're going to be a good listener on the Lord's Day? Personal worship prepares you to come and worship. It prepares you to hear the Word of God so that you can more clearly hear of Jesus and learn of Him, His glorious saving power. Jesus Christ saves sinners. Every kind of sinner. He loves His people. He gave His life for them. And His precious righteousness clothes them in the presence of God so that they can come before their God in any situation and pour out their hearts laid upon the altar in heaven. Don't you want to know Him? Don't you want to hear Him? Personal worship to prepare you for the Lord's Day. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Psalm 119, 11. Jeremiah the prophet, Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and Thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Did anybody walk in the door today with a rejoicing heart because of God's word? Not just because things went a little better this week than the week before. They may have gone worse. You can still walk in no matter how dark things are for you. You can find in the promises of God, in the glories of Christ, joy, thanksgiving, the rejoicing of my heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, Colossians 3:16. Take a verse, brethren, meditate on it throughout the day, or memorize a chapter with your family. Read, sing, you pray to the Lord and prepare your heart. Second is family worship. We don't have to spend a lot of time on this, but family worship is one of the most important preparations for the Lord's Day. Family worship is one of the most important preparations for the Lord's Day. God said of Abraham, For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. God loved Abraham. God changed Abraham. And Abraham came out of pagan darkness and became the father of a nation because he believed the word of God. And that belief didn't just stop with him. He taught his children. And his descendants could say, The God of my father Abraham. The God of my father. They knew he loved God. Fathers, could your children stand before this congregation and say, hey, you know, my dad's not perfect. I'm going to tell you something. My dad loves Jesus Christ. And my dad loves the Word. And my dad, weak as he may be, he takes the Word of God and says, Son, daughter, here's what our God tells us. God had mercy on me. God had mercy on your blessed mother. And we serve Him. We walk with Him. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to have a degree. You just have to be changed. That's all. New heart. Can anybody bear witness here? Oh, my dad. My mom, oh, she bore witness to me of Christ. And I know some of you can. Glory to God. Like many, I would say, in this room can. If you're not engaging in day-to-day worship of the living God in your home, you're not preparing yourself for the Lord's Day as you should. J.A. Alexander said, The daily, regular, and solemn reading of God's holy word by a parent before his children is one of the most powerful agencies of a Christian life. That's true. And fathers that don't read the Scriptures to their children are among the most deforming agencies in life. Some of us know that all too painfully well. Prepare your heart with prayer. Not only should you prepare yourself for worship with worship, but we want to take this specific aspect of prayer, this specific aspect of worship, which we call prayer. How many times have we offered the sacrifice of fools by not praying for our services? How many times have we offered the sacrifices of fools by not praying for the services? Pray that God will illuminate you with His Word. Pray for hearing ears and seeing eyes. Children, pray for hearing ears and seeing eyes. Pray that God will teach your heart. He does. He loves children. He loves children. He rebuked His own disciples for not letting the children come to Him. Pray that God will make your heart tender to receive the Word of God. Lord, it's been a hard week. I'm down. I'm struggling. I'm having a difficult time. Make my heart tender so I can hear Your Word on the Lord's Day. Pray that God will transform you by the renewing of your mind. Brethren, I can say it of myself, and I know that I can say it of God's people throughout the ages. Often they come in dragging, feet down. The things of life have burdened them so they can barely breathe. But they come and they sit and they hear the Word of God. They hear the glorious eternal truths of God. They hear of a saving, keeping God. And they walk out lighter, joyful, refreshed. Walked into this pulpit sometimes with my heart so heavy I could barely open my mouth. And yet as soon as the precious name of Christ fills the air, all that's gone. Christ. Pray. James says, receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. Pray that when you come, that God will teach you what He wants you to hear. He may actually tell you that you've been dead in false religion for 20 years and that there's a living Christ. He may tell you. He may reprove you. He may encourage you. He may just love you. You may hear all kinds of things from Him. I don't mean audible voices. Don't mistake me. I'm talking about His truth. Pray that you will understand the importance of God's Word. The importance. So many men have given their lives that we have this book to hold in our hands. Most of God's people throughout history have not had Bibles. And we've got multiple Bibles in our homes, many of them with no fingerprints on the pages. Oh, God help us. He's given us His Word. Pray that you will see the importance of the Word and receive it. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Pray for the edification of God's people. Oh Lord, in Your mercy, bless my brothers and sisters today. Encourage their hearts. Hold up the ones that are flagging. Encourage the ones that are sorrowful. Give joy unspeakable and full of glory. Make us like Christ. Instruct us in Your school. Pray for your brethren. Pray that God will speak to everyone that gathers. Prepare your heart. Paul could say to the Thessalonians, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. If you just come to hear one of my messages, that's all you're going to get. I'm telling you, that's disappointing. I'm not here to entertain anybody. I'm here to tell you what God's Word says. And I want you to receive it. I want me to receive it. I want to be challenged and changed. I want to be purified. I want to be sharpened. I want the Lord to come by the power of His Spirit and put His finger right on my sins and make me look up to Him and rejoice in my Savior. I want to see Him in His glory. I want to hear Him preached. I want the bigness of my God preached in His faithfulness, His goodness, His justice, His holiness. I hear it in His Word. Pray. You come in dead and stony and cold and thinking about everything that's going on, you're just going to get slivers. Pray and prepare your heart to come. Pray that God will anoint the preacher with power from on high. Pray that God will help him to speak with clarity, with a burning heart, with holy motives. Pray that he will be a man of prayer. Pray that he will be a man of uncompromising holiness. Pray that whatever else he does, he handles God's Word rightly and delivers it to the sheep. Pray that his studies will be uninterrupted. Pray that he will be blessed of God. Pray that he will have light from above. That he won't be preaching something poisonous to God's people. Pray that he will preach like a man appointed of God to bring his word. We're not here for a math class. We're not here for a history lesson as such. We're here to hear from God. Be more ready to hear. And you must prepare yourself with prayer. Pray that the Holy Spirit will come in power. Pray that the Spirit will bring conviction of sin. Pray that the triune God will be exalted. Pray that the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving power will be magnified. And pray for the lost. There are lost people sitting in here. Pray for them. Pray that the God of mercy, who came in His amazing grace to fools like us, would fall upon them in His grace and His tender mercies, show them their sins, show them their lostness, and bring them out of darkness into the glorious light of Jesus Christ. Oh, come! Come to Christ! Come! Why will you die? Why would you go to hell for eternity when God in His mercy sets His truth week by week before you? Oh, pray for the lost. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they preach? How they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Number three, prepare your spouse. Prepare your spouse for worship with a gracious spirit. How many times have we offered the sacrifice of fools because of unkind words between spouses? How many worship services have we ruined before they ever began by that look, by that tone of voice, by putting somebody straight in their place, when maybe just a gentle reminder would have helped? Prepare your spouse for worship with gracious words. Angry, irritable, unkind, sarcastic, belittling disrespectful remarks can utterly destroy a Lord's Day worship before it ever gets underway. And then we sit and go, pretty dead here today. Well, were we offering the sacrifice of fools? Or were we prepared to hear the Word of God? These kinds of words quench and grieve the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is the power in our worship. It's not the preacher, it's not the singing, it's not the band. It's the Holy Spirit. And we can grieve Him. And we can come into worship and know nothing of the presence of God because of our wicked mouth before we join God's people to worship. And we come in with dead and quenched spirits. How can we worship with a quenched spirit? Pray that God will sanctify your spouse. Pray that God will sanctify you. Pray that God will sanctify your mouth. Make sure that you don't say things to your husband or to your wife that in just a few minutes you're going to completely contradict as you stand there singing with God's people. If need be, pray that God will save your spouse. But prepare for the Lord's Day with gracious words. Number four, prepare your children with exhortation. Prepare your children with exhortation. How many times have we offered the sacrifice of fools by not preparing our children's soul for worship? Let me get there. Everybody in. Sit down. Shh, be quiet. Well, we haven't exactly prepared them, have we? Now, yeah, there's times when you got to round everybody up. I understand that. I had children. But fathers and mothers, prepare your children. Prepare them, not just by getting their clothes on and out the door on time. That's good, that's fine, it has its place. I'm not attacking that. But I am saying, are you doing anything to prepare their souls for what they're about to do? Exhort them to listen to God's Word. Children, we're going to church. It's the most important meeting of the week. Did you realize that? Mommy and Daddy need to act like it is. If you didn't, Mom and Daddy might have to do some repenting. Maybe we haven't been telling you about how wonderful and glorious the Lord's Day is. The Lord Jesus Christ rose on the first day of the week, and that's when His people moved from the Sabbath worship to the Lord's Day. And they began to gather, and they gathered around the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in having the ordinances of God and in prayer. Oh, it's the most wonderful day. It's the most wonderful meeting of the week. Nothing is going to get in the way, children. We're not going to let anything get in the way of going and worshiping the Lord. Or are we going to say, well, you know, we can always go to church. This is a really important event. Let's go do that today. Prepare your children to come meet with God. Children, if you listen carefully to whoever is speaking, if he's handling the Word of God right, and if the Spirit of God falls, we're going to hear from God. But you want to listen, be listening. I realize that's difficult with extremely young children, but if you are having regular family worship and teaching them to sit still 6 days a week, it's more likely that they'll sit still on that seventh day. If you're hoping they're just going to get it here, it's not going to happen. Prepare your children. Prepare them that they are going to meet with God, not just their friends. Some of them want to just come see their friends, come see their buddies. Haven't seen them all week. tell them it's fine that your friends are there and we're glad. We're happy that there are others that are like-minded, but we're going to hear God. You listen. You pray. Stop arguing with your sister. We don't want to spoil our worship this morning with ugly words. Let's go. Let's go hear God. Prepare them by singing a hymn on the way. Sing in the car. Sing hymns that you've learned or hymns that you're learning in the church. Sing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Or pray for them when you arrive. As you put on the parking brake, say, children, let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, I have one, I have two, three, four, five, nine, 10, 15 children here, these precious souls that you've given me, and we're about to go in and meet with your people. Oh, God, give them ears to hear you today. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, children, don't make Daddy's prayer vain. Let's go in and you listen. Prepare to hear the Word of God. There's so many ways to prepare children. There's so many ways. Make sure that they're attentive while the message is being preached. There are some parents, every congregation has them. Sometimes there's three or four of them. And parents are locked in the service. And boy, they're feeding on the Word of God and it's great. And their children are bouncing off the walls. We want our children in the congregation. We believe that that's God's way. But part of having an orderly service is dads and moms make sure that your children are, in fact, paying attention. It takes a little work, but you can do it. You can do it. I can tell you, it can be done. And then ask them after the service what the text was. Ask them after the service what the 3 points of the sermon were. Now everybody ought to know these. Watch your step, watch your tongue, worship God. It doesn't get much easier than that. And why was the pastor talking about that this morning? Ask them if there was a part that spoke to them or a part that bothered them. Or a part they didn't understand. Warn them of the dangers of not listening. Tell them that the God who is love is a God who is holy and He hates sin. Finally, prepare your body with rest. How many times have we offered the sacrifice of fools by not preparing our bodies with proper rest? How many Lord's Day worship services have we ruined with our Saturdays? Please, let that sink in. How many Lord's Day worships have we ruined with our Saturdays? What do I mean by that? Well, how many services were wasted because we did not prepare our minds and our hearts with the rest that our body needs? Oh, we were having a great time. We were having people over and we were talking. We were saying until 3 o'clock in the morning. And then you drag in the next morning and you can barely hear anything. You've undone the Lord's Day. Well, I've got this project I've got to finish. I have to finish it. Now, providentially, that might be the case occasionally. But very often, because we're not good managers of our time in other days of the week, we're cramming things through on Saturdays. And we're up late, and we're worn out, and then we drag into church, and we don't hear anything. The sacrifice of fools. Be more ready to hear. We warn each other that if we don't rest, we may lose our health. We warn each other that if we do not rest, we can't do good work. Yet, brethren, how many times do we stop on Saturday? Listen, please, listen. If you're drifting, please listen. How many times have we stopped on a Saturday evening and said, tomorrow's the Lord's Day, the most important day of the week, the most important meeting of the week. It's taking place tomorrow. I will be in the presence of God with His people. He will be speaking to me tomorrow. I must go to bed and rest my body and be ready to hear from the God who loves me. When was the last time we did that? We'll let anything interfere with the Lord's Day under the term important. When the single most important event of every week is the Lord's Day worship. We have an unending list of reasons and excuses for staying up late on Saturdays. But my brethren, I will say to you that this is the most important thing happening today. Some of you don't believe that, and you will live accordingly. But I pray with all of my heart that you will believe that, that you are more ready to hear, and that you're ready to walk with God whatever He says and go wherever He points. I must close. I do understand there are providential exceptions. Yes, it happens. Sometimes we're up all night with somebody in the hospital. I've had that happen here to me. Thankfully, I was preaching, or I probably would have fallen asleep sitting out in the pew. I understand that, but that's the exception. That's the providential exception, not what you and I are causing by our bad planning. Remember, the weekend doesn't stretch to Sunday. Saturday is the last day of the week. The first day of the week is the Lord's Day, and we come together to worship Him. Monday's the second day of the week. This is the most important day. We set the tone for the rest of the week. The preacher knew that life had to be God-centered. He knew that by experience, life spent in the pursuit of worldly pleasures is empty. Let us repent of our sins. Let us believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then let us learn from Him to have a God-centered life. Let us watch our step. Let us watch our mouths. And let us worship God. Let us be more ready to hear Christ and His Word than to give the sacrifice of fools. Amen. Father in heaven, You've given us Your Word. You've called us to pray. You've sent Your Holy Son to save Your people, and by His blood, You have purchased for them everlasting life. Oh, Father, I pray that as You have called this gathering together, we would hear Your Word, that we would keep our foot when we go to the house of God and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Help us to love Christ Jesus, to hear Him, and to be transformed in Jesus' name. Amen.